It's Stank Gang podcast time and time to talk tennis. And this week, Scott Lynn not with us. Actually, the tennis teams are out in California this week, but we had a chance to visit with Emmy Visit of the women's team and Luis Diaz of the men's team. So we're looking forward to this, and hopefully you'll enjoy this opportunity to hear from the players. And Emmy, the women's team's been on a roll. You've won six straight duels. What's kind of led to that success for the women's team?
I think we've just been playing really confident. I think all of us, we've been really excited to play together and play for each other. That's been probably the biggest theme, is just fighting for each other and playing for each other as a team. And so I'm really excited to go to California and play some teams that we really wouldn't play normally. And I know that they're a high level, but we're all really excited.
You know, there's an interesting dynamic that we were talking about with Coach Lynn last mm-hmm. week, and that's that when we think of tennis, we think of it being an individual sport. Because most of us watch professional tennis primarily, and mm-hmm. occasionally they're playing in a team environment, but not often. College tennis is completely different, right? Because while you're out there by yourself in a singles match, you are playing for the rest of your team. What's that dynamic like for you?
It's very unique, because definitely, like, playing before college is very individual as a sport, but that's what makes college tennis so special, I think, because yes, you are playing out there by yourself, so to speak, but really you're playing with all of your teammates. And just knowing that your match counts for the overall team score, it makes it worth it a lot more, I think. And I think that makes it so much more fun to play.
Does it put more or less pressure on you playing in a team environment?
For me, it almost is less pressure. I know it's different for every player, but for me, it makes me more excited to play, because I know that it isn't just me out on the court playing. I know that my teammates are fighting for me whenever they play, and so it makes me more energetic and eager to push myself and get myself to a win for them and also just for myself.
Well, we mentioned that the team's been on a roll, so it makes sense that a lot of the individuals are going to be on a roll as mm-hmm. well, but you've won four straight matches. What is it you feel like is working for you out on the court?
I think just being really focused, honestly, just every point, not putting so much pressure on myself and just enjoying the game, honestly, and enjoying my time on the court, just because I know, like, as a senior, my time is limited. And so just really appreciating my time on the court and just appreciating my teammates around me.
When you take a look at your collegiate career, how do you measure your improvement? Is it more on the court, or is it more off the court where you've, in other words, I guess mm-hmm. mentally, yeah. where you've seen improvement more so than physically? How do you measure the improvement?
I think both. I think on and off the court, I've just matured. I feel like I've had some hard matches and hard seasons, especially my freshman year with COVID and cutting my season short. And so I think the biggest change has just been taking every moment as face value, almost, of just like, this might be my last match, and just appreciating it that way. And it holds more value, but it doesn't put more pressure on me. It's almost like I can just play free and just enjoy it.
Did COVID change your approach to the game at all?
I think a little bit. I think it just made me realize that anything can change outside of just tennis. Like, the world is changing all the time. And so I've matured in that way of just appreciating and knowing that the world is changing. And so it might, you know,
that's for sure.
we're not guaranteed everything. So.
So when you're not playing tennis, what are you doing away from the court?
I like to read, but I like to read and I like to hang out with friends. I'm really involved in my church that I go to, and I love, just growing in my faith, and leading others to faith as well.
Do you have any particular books you would recommend for people to read? What have you read lately?
Okay. I'm currently reading Beautiful Outlaw. It's about the personality of Jesus, and right now it is so good. So I would definitely recommend that to anyone who just wants to get to know who Jesus is. That one, and then also A Hiding Place. I'm almost done with it, but it's about this family who during the German occupation and during World War II, how they had a hiding place in their house, and they protected a bunch of Jewish people from the Germans, and just their faith in God through all of that.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. That sounds really good.
Yeah, it's really good.
So what are you studying here at Midwestern State?
I'm an exercise physiology major.
So what does an exercise physiology major end up doing?
Kind of a lot of different things. A lot of people go through and become a physical therapist. But you can kind of do anything. Right now, I'm really interested in occupational therapy, but you can become a strength coach. You could do, because it is a very like wide range of education within the major. And so you could go into cardiac rehab. There really is like an endless amount of avenues you can.
Well, that sounds
to.
Like a good major then, if you've yes. got a lot of options after
yeah,
you get
it's,
out.
It's good.
Do you think tennis will still be part of your life after you graduate?
I think so. I think I definitely want to take some break just because I have played it for so long and it's just been a huge part of my life. But because it has been a huge part of my life, I do appreciate the sport, and I definitely will want to play till I'm 90 years old.
I was going to say that's the one thing about the golf team and the tennis team. You've chosen sports that you can play for a lifetime.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I mean, even 56-year-old guys like me play tennis. Not as well as you, but I'm out there hacking away.
Yeah.
You got this trip coming to California. You've got four teams. Scott tells me they're all pretty good teams. Mm-hmm. What are you looking forward to most about this trip out west to California?
I think just the change of scenery and being able to play teams that, kind of like I said, we wouldn't play normally. And just seeing that level and being able to be challenged on the court and off the court just with who we're playing, and just being able to see my team grow through that.
We're joined now by Luis Diaz of the men's team. You're also going to California. It's both the men and women going to California. What are you looking forward to most about this trip out west?
Well, it's very exciting. For many of us, it's the first time traveling to California. And we're looking forward just to doing the trip, first of all. We know we're going to see a lot of great stuff, great places we're going to visit. Plus, we're getting to play four really good teams from the area, which will be great for us for keep competing, keep playing good matches. And yeah, everyone's looking forward to it.
Yeah, you do. You have four matches in 4 days. Are you worried at all about fatigue or wearing yourself out over the course of this trip?
We're all really confident about our fitness, our mental health at the moment right now, everything. But yeah, it's been a conversation going on for the last couple of days. We've had a couple guys injured, Steven and Philip, the last week, and yeah, we don't have a big team at all. We're 8 guys total, and with these 2 guys being out for a couple of days, we've been a little bit on the lookout for that. But yeah, I think they're feeling better. They should be out playing again this week, and hopefully all 8 of us are ready to play in case anyone has to jump on the court.
How do you feel about the season to this point?
We've had our ups and downs.
It has kind of been an up and down season, hasn't
yes.
it? I know this past weekend you played Southwest Baptist, you sweep past them, then you turn around, you had to sleep fast because you turned around the next morning, you play Wichita Baptist, a perennial power, and you stumble a little bit against Wichita Baptist, and that's kind of the way the year's been, right? And you had won 3 in a row before you lost to Wichita Baptist. So what's led to that inconsistency, and how do you become more consistent?
So, when we started the season, just by looking at the schedule, we all knew, especially the guys that we've been playing college tennis in the past, that all basically every team we're playing is pretty strong, even if it's a junior college, D2.
Yeah, Scott doesn't cut you any slack on the schedule,
no,
does he?
No, it's like you better be ready every match. So, but yeah, it's good for us. We know it's going to be tough for us sometimes because even if we play good, we compete good, we might face some losses. And it's not an excuse at all, but every except for maybe one match that the opponents, I think, were much more prepared than us. Every other loss we've had has been really close, just like it was one match here and there that if we had been able to like close that match, then all the other matches that we didn't get to finish were looking pretty good for us. So yeah, except for one match, all the other losses were just one match here and there that I think, which is pretty good, like it's good for us, but at the same time, it gives us, more, we need to be more willing to take those matches so that doesn't happen.
And tennis scoring is unique because 1 or 2 points can really determine the outcome of a match. So even a match that might look one-sided on the ultimate line score, it could be 4 or 5 points that determine the outcome of that match.
That's right. For example, last weekend, we've been talking about it because it was a tough loss, especially after a good win on Friday. It was 4-1 down, but we lost the doubles point in the deciding match. Juan and I lost 6-4 in that match on a deuce point. We could have gone 5-all, and who knows what could have happened. We could have taken the doubles
point. And it's
no
ad, right?
Exactly.
So the deuce point decided it.
It was match point or 5-all point. So it was really close. And then in singles, we went down 3-1, which added up to 4-1. But again, if we had gone that doubles point, Juan and Killian were looking pretty good on courts 5 and 6, and we could have won 4-3 that one. So again, it goes down to 1-2 points here and there. If Juan and I had been more ready for that doubles match at the end, could have taken it and then taken the overall match 4-3.
You and Juan have been playing pretty well as a doubles team overall, though. Mm-hmm. What do you think makes you a tough team?
Well, I think on one side we have the language. We share the language. We share, we spend a lot of time together. We talk about not just tennis, everything. Juan is a really cool guy. He might be a little quiet sometimes, but once you get to know him and he is a little bit released of the language barrier, he is a really good guy to get to know. And
are you a quiet guy?
Quiet? No, not really.
So you're opposites is the point I'm trying to get to, a little bit. Anyway.
For me, I'm more comfortable with the language, with English. I've been here for 5-6 years total.
And you were at St. Edward's, right?
Yes.
Before coming to Midwestern
exactly.
State.
So I played 3 years for St. Edward's, and COVID happened. A whole story with like my tennis team getting shut down. I stayed back home in Spain for 2 years, around 2 years, then I came back here for my master's degree. So, yeah, English is, I feel pretty comfortable with my English. But yeah, Juan is, his English is getting a lot better too. and yeah, but I mean, on the court, we really match each other. And
your games complement one another?
Yes, yes. We like discussing, even, we need to stop doing that, but even during matches sometimes, especially during practice, like, hey, in this case, let's try doing this, let's try doing that. And yeah, we're fixing stuff.
So you're communicating before every point.
Exactly.
Essentially.
Yes. Yes. Before every serving point, hey, where are you serving? What do you think about here? I think this has been working well. I'm going to stay here. You do this. If I do this, make sure you do this.
Right.
Then when we're returning, against, we have less control of what's going to happen, especially if we're playing a team who's serving well. But again, we're like, hey, if I return here, make sure you're here. Don't come to the net too early. Stay back. Let's try to work. So, yeah, there's always conversation, even sometimes during the point. You know, like, hey, stay back. Hey, go up. So,
well, that's important too, right? Yeah. I mean, so what do you think is the strength of your doubles team? Is it your serving? Is it your receiving?
So us particularly, I think I have a pretty decent serve, always room for improvement. But on my side, I have a good service game. I think Juan is lacking a little bit of power on his serve a little bit at times, but we try to complement each other. We try to keep his service game simple with like simple formations, making sure that I can get the first volley or that he's comfortable from the baseline on his first ball. And Juan is really good at the net. He's really smart. He knows when to move. He's played a lot of doubles back home, and he's helping me a lot. So I try to put in a little bit of the experience and the calmness sometimes and other things. He's got a little bit more of the talent and the guts to move up there at the net.
Well, I know just from playing USTA Old Man League tennis, it's always a good idea to pick a partner that's good at the net.
Yes, so it helps.
Yeah. It's nice to have somebody that can end those points for you.
Yeah, all the guys are good at the net. They're doing really good. It's just a matter of, you know, like trying who plays better with who and coach. I think Coach Lin has done a really good job with that. But honestly, I think anyone could play with anyone, and everyone's ready to play. And we've made some changes due to injuries, due to other circumstances, and everyone's proven that is ready to play.
You're also playing a lot at number one singles. Are you feeling comfortable in that role?
It's not easy. Again, any spot in the lineup, especially against these teams we're playing, the difference between the number one guy and the number six guy, or even the guys who are not playing, is pretty even. But again, yeah, the spots number one and two, 1, 2, 3, we get to play the tougher guys, and for us, for the men's team, we're all really even too. Like, you could switch up the lineup anytime and you can really tell the difference. I think it's a matter of having say Charlie and me at the top two spots because of our experience in the past. We're older, we've played a lot of matches. So yeah, we try to help the others, like the younger guys. We try to always show up, always show strength, good body language. Just, you know, no matter what's going on our court, we might be getting our asses kicked, like it happened last weekend in singles. Charlie and I, we had a tough day on Saturday. But yeah, we always need to show your teammates that the match still happening, that anything can happen. And yeah, even though Charlie and I got beat easily, I think this weekend, everyone else had their chances. And again, it went down to Juan and I losing that doubles that we could have won in the end, and it could have been a different story.
You got to turn the page now, though, and get ready for this West Coast trip, right? Mm-hmm. I have this assumption, and you tell me if I'm right or wrong, but since you came from Spain, I'm assuming you grew up playing on clay. Is that right or wrong? Am I naive?
That's a question I get asked a lot. It's both true and false. So it's true that back home we have a lot of clay. It's everywhere, all around the country, but it's more popular around the coast. So I'm from the center of the country, from Madrid. So because of the weather, it's like really dry. It gets really hot in the summer, really cold in the winter. That's not good for
sounds for a little bit like Wichita Falls.
Yes. So that's not good for clay courts because you need like humid. You need humid weather for them to like stay. The clay has to stay wet. So from where I'm from, we have clay courts, but they're not as good as the ones we have in other areas of the country.
But you play primarily on hard courts then.
I grew up playing on hard. Then tournaments are usually on clay because it's like what makes Spain.
Right. I mean, it's synonymous,
yes.
Right?
So yeah, for me, I prefer hard court to clay court.
You do prefer the hard court.
For example, Marcel, he's from Barcelona, from the coast, one of the coast areas of the country. He'll tell you he prefers clay court for sure.
So how did you end up at Midwestern State?
It's all thanks to Coach Lynn, being honest. I don't want to sound bad, but when I told my old teammates from St. Ed's that I was coming here, it was the first week. It was like, hey man, are you for real? Are you really doing this? Like, they were our like number one opponents for 3 years.
Right.
Are you sure you're doing this? I'm like, yeah. I mean, it's a good school. It's good academics. Really good tennis. I know Coach Lynn. He knows me well too. And yeah, I mean, once I got on the portal, I was looking. At first, I was just looking for I wanted to do my master's here in the U.S. and get a scholarship as a graduate assistant, like coaching for the team. And Coach Lynn told me, hey, let's do this deal. You'll play your first year because you have one more year of eligibility, and then you'll be my assistant coach your second year of master's. And I was like, all right, that sounds good.
So that's what you're interested. I was going to ask you if you saw tennis as being part of your life after college. Obviously you do.
Yes. So I didn't play my last year of my senior year in college because I was back home. So that year was a little rough for me. I didn't know if I wanted to keep playing, if I was done. I didn't know if I was going to come back to the U.S. and play for a different team. And yeah, I didn't play for a year or so, but then as
now
I started.
Now, when you say you didn't play competitively or you didn't pick up a racket?
I was getting to practice with some guys because a lot of people play and like, you know, like some younger players, some teenagers that are like playing and competing and their coaches know me. They're like, hey, are you free to practice with this guy tomorrow morning? I was like, yeah, sure. But I wasn't really like, I didn't have like a schedule. I didn't have like a purpose to train for. So I was staying active. I was running, I was cycling, I was doing stuff, but I wasn't training. And then once I got my scholarship signed with MSU and my start date ready for my master's, then I started practicing again by the start of this past year. Around April, May, I started practicing again, getting ready for the summer and the fall season.
So what are your interests outside of tennis?
I'm a really active person. I like to, other than tennis, I like, as I said, running, cycling. My dad is a really active person too. He's 63, 64, and he still like tries to compete in triathlons and stuff like that. So he, so yeah, he taught me how to ride a bike and And every time that we have a chance, we try to go to the mountains and do our mountain stuff, either walking, running, biking. So any of that I like doing. I'm also interested in history a little bit. I try to read a little bit about that. But yeah, as I say, it's going to be hard for me to find a job where I don't have to be sitting too much during the day, because I like to keep doing stuff, stay moving.
So you think you'll stay in the States, or you think you'll go back home to Spain, or is that too far in advance?
No, it's actually, I'm almost done with my first, I'm two months away from being done my first year of master's, and so it's not that far. I'll probably look into my OPT, because I'll get 3 years of OPT after I graduate, and that's something I'll for sure look into. It's for sure easier to get a job, like entry-level job here in the U.S. than it is in Spain. So I'll start looking in both places and see what I decide.
Yeah, what's your goal for this trip to California?
First of all, I think the whole team is looking for a little bit of balance in our, like we said, in our ups and downs. We don't know much about the teams we're playing. We know they're going to be tough. And again, we need to be expecting like the toughest matches that we can expect. So we had a couple of days off yesterday and Sunday, and everyone is looking really ready for this week to practice and for the trip. So yeah, just first of all, everyone to be healthy. That's number one priority right now. And then yeah, and just keep competing like we've been doing. Try to fix the focus errors we've had in a couple matches, but yeah, everyone's playing good. Nothing to worry about.
Luis, thanks so much for doing this. Thanks to you, and thanks to Emmy Visick, who joined us earlier. Good luck to you guys in California, and we really appreciate you taking time to do this podcast with
us. Thank you.
I'm Pete Stein. Thanks for joining us for the Stain Gang podcast. We'll be back with Scott Lynn next week. So long.